All right, if you go with me to 2 Kings chapter number 2, please. 2 Kings chapter number 2, we're going to continue our series on thriving in the midst of chaos, looking at the life of Elisha. 2 Kings chapter number 2 and verse number 19. Remember, Elisha has just come across the Jordan. He split the Jordan and walked across the Jordan River. Now he is beginning his ministry following the prophet Elijah. And so Elisha is the man now. Elijah is off of the scene. He's been caught up into the heavens. And what we're going to read about tonight will be the first miracle of Elisha. Verse number 19, the Bible says, "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren." We know that he is in Jericho when he's writing this, and that is the city that they're talking about, Jericho. Verse number 20, the Bible says, "And he said, Bring me a new curse or cruse, and put salt therein, and they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spoke." There's one thing that I believe that you and I need to do is be able to thrive in the midst of chaos. We are living in a time of chaos. Matter of fact, if you're a student of the Word of God, you know that the Bible says that in the last days, that their days are going to be dangerous and they are going to be chaotic. In 2 Timothy, I have read this many times, but we need to be reminded of it, because here's what the Apostle Paul says the days are going to be like in which we are living in today. He said this, "Know also that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Now, if you study this passage, one of the things that this passage teaches is that as we get closer to the Lord, all of these characteristics are going to become more and more predominant in our society. Think about this. Are men more selfish today than they were 20 years ago? I would say they are. Do we love pleasure more today than what people did 30 and 40 years ago? Hey, all you got to do is go home and watch the football game tonight and you're going to see that place packed out. Yesterday I watched two great football games and those stadiums were packed out, hundreds of thousands of people. Hey, they live in their life for pleasure. And so when we live our life that way, guess what? It's going to cause chaos. It's going to cause difficulty. It's going to cause trials in our lives. I don't know about you, but I love living in the United States of America. It is the greatest nation. Now, I know that there's a lot of problems. I know that there's a lot of difficulty. But I'm telling you what, I don't want to live anywhere else in the world. But I want you to know our nation is becoming chaotic. Matter of fact, when I began to write this on Thursday, I was reading the headlines and we were in 4 or 5 days of our government now is shut down. We are $37 trillion in debt as a nation. As a nation, we are financially irresponsible. And I'm telling you, one of these days, that is going to catch up with us. Our political leaders, it's no longer about what's good for the country. It's about what is good for the party, or about what is good for each other. A matter of fact, on Thursday, I watched a video of two of the leading congressmen in the halls of Congress having a shouting match at each other. Hey, where is civility gone in political circuses? There's no civility anymore. It's just about, if I disagree with you, I've got to attack you, I've got to come against you, and I'm telling you, it leads to chaos. I don't understand this, how leaders of Democratic or cities that are plagued with crime how they refuse help. I don't understand that. As a citizen, hey, if my house is getting broken into and if murder is rampant and all those things, hey, I want to take all the help that I can get. But yet we're living in a society where chaos is ruling and reigning. Look at what is going on in Portland today. I'm telling you, it's a place of chaos today. As people today, we're fighting over what is a man and what is a woman. For all of human history, they've never had that problem. They've always been able to figure out God has made man and God has made a woman. But now, you know what? We don't even know which is which. We don't know when life begins. And we could go right on down the line. We're living in a very chaotic time. Churches are in chaos. I don't know if you have watched it, the news, but one of the largest churches in the state of Texas, the pastor was arrested just a few weeks ago for raping a young girl 20-something years ago. He pled guilty, and he is being sentenced to jail this week. As Christians today, we fight over all kinds of stupid stuff. Instead of agreeing on the Word of God, instead of agreeing on the teachings of the Word of God. But how are you and I going to thrive in the midst of all this chaos? Paul said this, that we are more than conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the more chaotic this world gets, the stronger that you and I ought to get. Jesus said this, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Hey, I'm telling you, we are not on the losing side. We are not on the side that is going to be defeated. We are on the winning side. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our King. Jesus is still in control. And my friends, no matter how chaotic this world gets, no matter how chaotic your life gets, I want you to know we as God's people, we can strive and we can do great things in this world in the midst of chaos. But how are we going to do that? Remember the first week we talked about we've got to focus on God. Remember when Elisha was called into the ministry, Elijah threw his mantle on it and Elijah left his family and he said, you know what, I'm going to serve the Lord. My focus is going to be on the Lord. And he left his family behind. And then the second week we talked about that we've got to have great mentors in our life. We've got to have people in our life that we look up to for wisdom and for advice. And we've got to have people in our lives that will help lead us in the right directions. We need good mentors in our life. And then last week we talked about this. When events happen in our life, we grieve over it. But we don't stay in that grieving process endlessly. Hey, there comes a time when we have to stop grieving and we have to move forward and we have to go on and do what God has called us to do. And today, I believe the text is teaching us that we need to seek spiritual healing when chaos comes. In our text tonight, verse number 19, the Bible says, and the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord seeth. But the water is naught and the ground is barren. Now that looks from the surface like a physical problem. Hey, when you don't have water in a city, that brings chaos. Well, what if our wells were to dry up? And what if our lakes were to dry up? And what if we didn't have access to water? I'm telling you, there would be a lot of chaos and there would be a lot of trouble. And they have this beautiful city, Jericho, but there's water that is flowing into the city out of a spring, but it will not produce crops and the ground is barren. But when you study this passage, you understand that it's a spiritual problem, not a physical problem. I want you to go with me all the way back. Hold your finger here to Joshua chapter number 6, please. Joshua chapter number 6. In this chapter, the children of Israel have just crossed the Jordan River. And they are coming to the first city after crossing the Jordan River, and that is Jericho. Jericho is going to be dedicated to the Lord. The Lord says, I want you to go in to destroy Jericho and all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the brass, all of the iron that is to be put into the temple treasury. It's dedicated to me. It is holy. But then he says, the rest of the city, when you have conquered the rest of the city, he says, I want you to burn it down. I want you to destroy the city. We know that God gives them the victory. The walls fall down and they go in and they take all of the gold and they take all of the silver. And remember Achan, he decided he would take some of the garments and he would take some of the money for himself. And because of that, he sinned against God. And because of that, he was judged by God. He and his family all died because of that. But I want you to notice what verse number 26 says of Joshua chapter number 6. The Bible says, "And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates thereof." Now what Joshua is saying is this, is that the man that tries to rebuild the city of Jericho will be cursed. The curse will be this: when they lay the foundation, the eldest son will die. When they finish rebuilding the walls and they begin to lay the gates, then the youngest son, he will die. For 500 years, the city of Jericho was uninhabited. There were people that lived on the outskirts of the city of Jericho, but for 500 years, no one lived inside the city of Jericho. Why? Because it was dedicated to the Lord. It was holy. There was something different about Jericho. But I want you to turn with me now to 1 Kings chapter number 16. In 1 Kings chapter number 16... we know that Israel in this time is backslidden. They're living in idolatry. Ahab and Jezebel are the king and queen. Baal worship is taking over the city. And people are moving away from the word of God and serving God. And so when you come to 1 Kings chapter number 16 and verse number 34... during the reign of Ahab, here's what the Bible says. In his days did Hillel the Bethlehemite build Jericho. Now remember what God said, or Joshua said back in Joshua. Hey, if you build this city, the one that rebuilds this city, they're going to lose their eldest and they're going to lose their youngest. 500 years later, there is a man by the name of Hillel. He is going in, he is rebuilding Jericho. And here's what it says: he laid the foundation thereof in Abram, his firstborn, and was set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, it doesn't say it, but here's what happened. Hillel's oldest son died when they laid the foundation. Hillel's youngest son died when they built the gate, just like God said that it would take place. Now, I don't know when the water went bad. I don't know if the water had been bad for 500 years in Jericho. I don't know if it went bad when Joshua cursed the city. I don't know if the water went bad. I don't lean that way. Some people lean that way. I believe the water in Jericho went bad when Hillel rebuilt the walls. So perhaps the water had just been bad for a few years. But you see, Jericho was a beautiful city. It was desert all around it. Matter of fact, there are five different places in the Old Testament that Jericho is called the City of Palms. There were palm trees all around this beautiful city. But because it was in the desert, they had no water except for this spring. There was a spring that fed the city that gave them abundance of water. But when you come to this time, the water's bad. And it's causing the ground to be barren. Matter of fact, when you look at this text and you study it, you find that it calls plants to, the word is miscarriage. They would perhaps put on fruit, but before the fruit was ripe and before the fruit was edible, it would kick it off. The women that were in that city for during this time, when they would drink the water, they could not have children. They would miscarry their babies. And so because the water was bad, they couldn't produce crops to eat. It was a spiritual problem. You know why? Because God said, hey, I'm the only one to worship. Hillel, I don't know if he didn't know about what Joshua or what Jericho said way back in the text or not. All I know is that Hillel said, you know what? It doesn't matter what God has said. I'm going to rebuild the walls. And so when he rebuilt the walls, the water was cursed. You know, most of our problems in our life have a spiritual root to them. Most of the problems that you and I have, and most of the chaos around us, are rooted in spirituality. Remember the children of Israel? God says, hey, I'm going to take you from the land of Egypt and I'm going to take you to the promised land. All you've got to do is trust me. All you've got to do is follow me. And if you will just trust me and follow me, I will take you into the promised land. God shows them miracle after miracle to show them that he would do exactly what he told them to do. And as they start towards the promised land, they become murmuring and they become complaining. And when they get right to the precipices of the Jericho, they begin to think, hey, we better send some spies over into the promised land just to check God out to see if it's really what God has told us it was. And so they send these 12 spies. And you know, two of them came back and said, you know what? It is everything that God has promised us. Let us go up at once. Let's conquer the land. But 10 of those spies came back and said, you know what? We can't trust God. The giants in the land, and men, there's great the grapes in the land, grasshoppers in the land. There's all of these obstacles. We cannot do it. Let's stay on this side of the Jordan. And God said, okay, because you did that, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and you will never get to go into the promised land. You see, the issue is spiritual. We can't trust God's word. We can't do what God has asked us to do. Remember Jonah? Jonah was living his life. And God came to Jonah and said, you know what, Jonah? I've got a job that I want you to do. I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah, I want you to stand and I want you to proclaim my word. And I want you to tell those people that they need to repent and they need to get right. And if they do, I will forgive them of their sins. But what did Jonah do? Jonah went the other way. The Bible says that he bought a ticket and he went down to Tarsus. And then all of a sudden you find him in a very chaotic situation. I mean, he's on this boat and the wind is blowing and the waves are crashing into the boat. And they're thinking, hey, what are we going to do? Look at this storm in our life. And Jonah said, you know what? I'm the reason because I'm running from God. If you'll just throw me overboard, then the waves will be quieted. And you know, that is what happened. When they threw him overboard, the storm quieted. But what was the root of the storm? It was spiritual. Because Jonah was running from God. I look at the nation of Israel. You look in the book of Judges, and you see a cyclical thing taking place. God blesses the nation of Israel and those tribes of Israel and everything is going well. And when everything gets going well, here's what they do. Hey, we can do our own thing. And so they start doing their own thing and they move away from God, and then troubles and difficulties and chaos comes into the world, to their lives. And then they start crying out to God, God save us, God help us. And God sends a judge in and he saves them. But it's just over and over. But you know what? It's spiritual. Because you read these words, every man did which was right in his own eyes. You know why we have a lot of problems in our world today? Because everybody says, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what's right in my eyes. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. All that matters is what's right in my eyes. And listen to me, when everybody thinks they're right, what happens? It leads to chaos. You know what would happen in the Bible Baptist Church if we had 200 people that stood up and said, you know what, we don't care what Brother Chris says, we don't care what the Bible says, we're going to do what's right in our own eyes. Guess what? You're going to have chaos. In a family, when everybody's going to be in charge and everybody's going to be leaders and nobody's going to look to one for the leader, guess what? You've got chaos. What is the root of that? It's spiritual. Remember when the nation of Israel divided? Solomon was the king. And God blessed Solomon beyond measure. Remember the queen of Sheba came to see Solomon and see all that he had. And she said, you know what? Not even the half has been told. But Solomon began to bring foreign women in, and he began to marry. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And God said way back in Deuteronomy, don't do that, because if you do that, your heart will be turned away from God. And we know that when you read 1 Kings chapter number 11, I believe it is, here's what the Bible says, that Solomon's heart was turned away from God. And God came to Solomon and said, you know what? The kingdom is going to be divided. I'm not going to divide it in your time, but when you die, the kingdom is going to be divided. You know what? It was a spiritual. The root of the problem was spiritual. Then you've got Rehoboam, and then you've got Jeroboam. And when you read 1 Kings and 2 Kings, you see all of these kings and all kinds of trouble and all kinds of difficulties and chaos is going on in the nation of Israel. Why is it taking place? Well, why? Because it was a spiritual problem. Remember Jesus in John chapter number 4 at the well? That woman said, you know what, man, I've been married 5 times. It was a spiritual problem. In John chapter number 8, you find the woman that was caught in adultery. You know what her problem was? She had a spiritual problem, because Jesus said, hey, go and sin no more. Saul, before he was saved, he had a spiritual problem. He wasn't right with God, and after he got right with God, God changed his life. And on and on and on you can go. You know what's the root of my problems? Spiritual. When I begin to think I can do it my way, when I begin to think, you know what, I've achieved a certain amount of things, and you know what, God, you can take the day off, and I'm going to do it the way that I want to do it, it's not long till chaos comes. You see, I think that that's what's taking place in the text. The people in the city of Jericho, their water was no good, and they had just seen Elisha part the waters. They knew that the power of God was upon his life. And they come to him and saying, hey, can you do something about this? Elisha says, bring me a new cruse and bring me some salt. Salt is a symbol of the gospel. Salt is a symbol of the word of God. And they bring him this new cruse and they bring him this salt. And Elisha goes over to where the spring is, and then he takes that salt and he throws it into the spring. And then the Bible says, God said, the waters are healed, and they're healed forever. Has your life ever been in chaos? And instead of looking to everything else, you got real with God. It's me, O God, that stands in the need of prayer. You see, if the root is spiritual, the only one that can heal it is God. If the root of the chaos is spiritual, the only one that can do a miracle in your life is the Lord. I think about the Apostle Peter. That scene at the cross where Jesus is on the cross. Peter is over there by the fire warming himself, and there's a bunch of people that is around him, and they look at Peter and say, hey, you're one of his followers, aren't you? And Peter says, no, I'm not. And it wasn't long, there was another one that came along and said, yeah, you're one of his followers. You walk with Jesus. You talk like one of those Jesus men. And Peter said, no, I'm not. And there was one other one that came and said, yeah, you're him. And the Bible says he cursed. And then when he did that, the Bible says Jesus looked into the eyes of Peter. And here's what the Bible says. Peter went and wept bitterly. What was this problem? It was spiritual. Because he knew he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But he and Jesus had a meeting after Jesus resurrected. And when you read Acts chapter number 2, Peter now is filled with courage and filled with boldness. And he stands up and he proclaims the risen Jesus Christ in the gospel. I had a man when I was in Coleman. Very, very faithful man. Served the Lord with great passion and great zeal. And one day, or one week, he missed a service. I didn't think much of it. We all miss church services from time to time, don't we? He was back the next week, but a couple of weeks later, he missed another one. It wasn't long before he missed another, and it wasn't long before he wasn't coming anymore on Wednesday, and it wasn't long before he wasn't coming anymore on Sunday night. And then it got to where he wasn't even coming on Sunday. And his life began to fall apart. His marriage began to have problems. He started having problems with his children. I would go by and I would visit with him and I would talk to him and I would try to encourage him to get back and to get right. And oh no, preacher, I'm okay. It wasn't long till his wife filed for divorce and the family split apart. And I'll never forget that man walking into my office in brokenness, saying, "Oh preacher, I need to get right." I wish I could tell you after he got right with God and after he started serving the Lord that his family came back together, but it didn't. It still stayed apart. But for the next 7 or 8 years that I was there, he faithfully served the Lord, and I watched God do a great work in his life. Many times I had couples come into my office and they were on the verge of divorce or problems. And you know what they were doing? They were blaming each other. But you know what the root of the problem was? Spiritual. I had mamas and daddies come into my office and say, "You know what, man, I just can't get my kids to mind. They're always on me. And my family is chaotic." And I would try to sit down and say, "You know what? The root of the problem is spiritual." You ever known people that can't get along with anybody else? And they always blame everybody else for all the problems. You know what the root of the problem is? It's spiritual. Because you know what? Every problem that you have in your life, this book right here has the answers. There's nothing that you're going to be confronted with in your life that this book didn't address. And with the power of God upon your life, He can fix those things. When you go through chaos, it's easy to blame everybody else, isn't it? But you know what we need to do is just to get honest with God. Say, "You know what? The root of the problem is my relationship with you." And we come to the Lord in humbleness. And we say, "Oh God, I've got to have your help. Work in my life." And you know what I know that He will do? He'll work in your life. He will do things that you never dreamed was imaginable. When chaos happens, what do we need to do? We need to seek spiritual healing first. You know what we as Americans need to do? We need to start asking God, heal our nation spiritually. Help us to get back to the Word of God. Help us to get back to making God the center of our society. And you know what He'll do? He'll do it. But I'm telling you, the further we get away, the more chaotic we'll be. Do you need spiritual healing tonight? Do you need to just get honest and real with God? I'm telling you, He's here for you if you're willing to do it. Lord, we love you tonight. And God, we thank you for these great passages of Scripture. That it looks like it's the water, it looks like it's something else, but yet the real issue is is that there was a spiritual issue there. And God, tonight I pray that we'd just be real and we'd just be honest with you tonight. And God, my prayer today is that if there are those that are far away from you tonight, Lord, I pray that before they leave, they will come and draw close to you. And God, I don't know what anybody in this auditorium is going through. And Lord, perhaps there may be some situations that are chaotic. God, I pray that you would bring healing to those situations. God, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you tonight, you come.